Hello and welcome to the Centerline Soccer Aftershocks podcast. I'm Jay Hipps.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
And we're coming to you from Stanford Stadium, where the Earthquakes have just drawn 2-2 with the New York Red Bulls.
Yet another one of those draw losses we're getting so used to around here.
Yeah. Well, it's, I don't know. I don't feel quite as bad about this one because, you know, the Earthquakes received a wonderful gift in the first half from Buna Kandul.
Had a little Buna time there in the first half. And, you know, the first half, actually, I thought New York pretty much dominated, especially at the beginning of the game. So, you know, Quakes probably had to feel pretty lucky that they weren't down already. More so than the Limpaire goal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they made some adjustments at halftime. You know, Frankie Alip talked about that in the press conference afterwards, and they came out with a bit more intensity. I mean, this is a starting lineup that basically featured five offensive-minded players, you know.
Right.
You know, something that we haven't necessarily seen too much this season. And
that's true. We've seen offensive players, but yes, not necessarily offensive-minded players.
We have seen some offensive players. It took them a while, I think, to get started, but the second half was something just, well, better. I mean, it was just a better second half.
Yeah, it seemed like that goal that, you know, despite the fact that it really was kind of handed to them on a silver platter, really kind of boosted their confidence a little bit. And they kind of went back to that same focus and intensity that they had in the first half of the Galaxy match before the various disappearances of Los Angeles goalkeepers.
Absolutely. And it was something where I think, you know, from my perspective, you saw a little bit more shape as far as the midfield goes. You know, Wando was kind of put into that right midfield position. You know, Yalop talked about that. He could have put him up top. He could have, you know, but he just chose to leave him out on the right. And he was getting into the attack a lot. But in the second half, or I should say, when the Quakes started to turn things around into the first half, into the second half, I thought I saw Wando, you know, taking that step back a little further, staying in line with the midfield. And I think that started to slow down just enough what was a very effective flank play from the Red Bulls tonight.
Yeah.
If you will, the running of the Bulls were in line or touchline on touchline. So that was, beware anyone in a white suit with a red belt. That was not where you wanted to be hanging out.
Yes, exactly. This was, here we were in mini Pamplona.
Yes. And a fantastic crowd cheering on the runners, if you will, as well. That was, I got to get that in there sooner than later. It was a lot of fun just from a perspective of being in the crowd and walking around the stadium and just how loud it got at times. And I know that's, you know, part of the design of a stadium with steel underbellies and seatings that when everyone likes to stomp, stomp, stomp. And you might be able to hear a little bit here in the post-game podcast. It makes a lot of noise. And that's the loudest I've heard a Quakes fan base at any game since the team returned in 08.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And players talked about it in the locker room as well. You know, the environment was just a fantastic environment for soccer.
It was a great environment. You know, I noticed one of the thoughts that occurred to me during the Galaxy match last week, because the crowd was really quite loud, but it's open stands on two sides, and there's really nothing at Buckshaw to hold in any of that sound.
No.
And so, you know, they could be as loud as they want, and it was just going to kind of dissipate into space. But you bring that in here where you've got an enclosed bowl where, you know, you've got the steel superstructure that you mentioned, and all of a sudden, you know, the atmosphere goes up about 1,000%.
Yeah,
and as I mentioned on Twitter earlier, the problem with having a match here and having this great turnout is that it's going to make it really kind of difficult to go back to Buckshaw now.
There's going to be a little bit of a letdown, definitely. And you know, it's, if anything, it gets people both excited and motivated, hopefully both Earthquakes people and fans, to say, build that stadium now. I think that chant is going to get a lot louder at home games from now on.
Absolutely. And I will take this moment to point out that Lou Wolf and Mike Crawley were in attendance.
Yep.
Mr. Wolf, of course, is the one who controls the purse strings on the organization. And let's hope that, you know, he walks away from this with a positive feeling about the what a new stadium could mean for this franchise. I know they're working hard in that direction already, but a little extra motivation never hurts.
Definitely, definitely. In fact, you know, Jay, I was telling you before we started recording, I actually found myself standing next to Lou at one point around halftime, kind of looked over and, oh, Lou Wolf, very good. He was very much into the crowd. He seemed to, you know, just see the energy around him, and I know, you know, unfortunately he doesn't always get that at Oakland A's games either, but you know, when you have 40,000 plus fans around, that is an exciting thing. And I think he did take notice of that. That's something he's going to want to see. Maybe not 40,000, but at least sold out crowds at a stadium down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it really, you know, I think the atmosphere that people experience today, even without the firecrackers, without the fireworks and without Thierry Henry, would be enough to bring people back. So
I think so. This is definitely a turnaround from what we saw last weekend, and something that I think will go a long way to getting people excited again to go to games.
Absolutely. So, well, speaking of excitement, I know we have several post-game interviews lined up. I know you talked to Earthquakes head coach Frank Gallup, and, why don't we start with that one?
Let's do that. Here is Frank Gallup's post-game press conference.
Opening statement, I guess, disappointed to concede a late goal, but I guess the nature of it, deflected shot, is always hard to take. I thought we played well second half. First half, I thought we were not at our best, but we're still in the game, obviously at 1-0 down. So in the end, very disappointed not to get the 3 points, but obviously, you know, getting a point is obviously a plus. But again, at home we didn't win, so it feels like it's a loss.
Who's going to play centre-back next week without...
There's been a few choices. Chris Leach has played there and done well. Brad Ring's played there. So we'll see how we're doing and make a decision once Monday comes.
Was the equalizer, as weird as that play was too, the first one in the first half, did that turn things around for you guys? Did it seem like you...
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes there's certain things in games that, you know, you don't know what they are until they come along that makes a difference to us. And I think it obviously lifted us once we scored, and I thought we played a lot better once we scored. I think they stunned us a little bit with the first goal. It seemed a fortunate bounce as well. I've not seen the replays on both goals, but it seemed a fortunate bounce and then went straight to Limpeo. We finished it well. And then obviously the second goal, deflected shot, is always tough to... You know, John's going to save the shot and it goes off Bobby's head and goes in. So, our guys, I thought we pushed the issue well second half. And I think Agudelo makes a big difference to them. You know, he's been missing for a month and I think he's good. And they were dangerous, but all in all, I thought it was probably a fair result.
You also had a player missing for a month and Chris Wondolowski had a big
issue for you today. Good. Yeah, Chris has probably played better when he went up front, but that's, you know, my decision on where he plays. But I thought he did well. He had a great chance to score, obviously, when he hit the post, which surprised me when he didn't score, but because he usually buries those. But no, he did well, looked fit, so no problems.
Overall, how pleased were you with Wando, Lenhart, and Dawkins playing together for the first time?
I thought Lenhart played real well today. No, not just a goal, but I thought he played well, held the ball up, was dangerous. It seems like the officials are on him a little bit for any kind of challenge that's not even a... You know, it's a fair challenge. He's not elbowing, he's just going for the ball. And I think they've got to kind of look at him, how he plays, and not punish him all the time for being physical and fair.
His yellow card tonight seemed to be for instigation, not necessarily for dirty.
Well, yeah, I think Bellucci got him the yellow card, to be honest, when he went to the referee. But, you know, they've got to deal with that better and realise that, you know, players are going to talk to the ref and you can't listen to them. So... but the red card for me is a mystery what that was for. So I thought Bobby Burling was getting pulled back and we were a 3-on-1 break and he gives him a yellow card. I haven't seen it again, but it seemed a weird call for me.
What did you think about the Stanford environment?
Great. Fantastic, you know. I think our guys warmed to the crowd a little bit. You know, I think maybe there might have been a little bit of nervousness to start with. Obviously, playing in a new stadium for us is never easy because it doesn't feel like home, but I think towards the end of the game, it felt like home. The crowd got behind us, and I thought, you know, we were going to go on to win the game. It's a shame we couldn't see the game out for a win, but I think it was a great experience for everybody.
Did that at all play, the larger crowd played at all progress towards the end.
Yeah, I think the crowd drove us on in the end. You know, I thought we did play well second half, which was good. You know, against everyone in this league is talented. You know, so they're going to have their moments in games. You're not going to dominate any team in this league because it's very even. And I think that it's proven in every game we've played. But even tonight, you know, you know, you've got to be on your game the whole 90 minutes. And I thought that we pushed the issue and tried to win the game, and a little bit unlucky not to see it out. So it was a shame.
Simon Dawkins, how do you think he's linking
good
up with
him? Yeah, I thought he played well. Yeah, I thought he played well. He's a very good, smart player, sharp, quick. I thought he did a nice job tonight of linking. You know, once we got him the ball and he had a little bit of space to move in, I thought he did great.
In the first half, the Olympic had Daniel Froome on their left side. Can you describe what adjustments you made?
Well, he tucks in so much that it's difficult to who marks him. You know, Steve can't go in too tight because it leaves space down the side. And then, obviously, with Wando, he's more of a forward. So he's a smart player. And, you know, it wasn't from that position that he scored his goal. But he's a good player in this league, and I think I like him. And he creates problems for us every time we play against him, it seems. But, you know, we had plenty of chances to score some goals tonight we didn't take. And, you know, we can't blame, you know, anything other than maybe ourselves. We didn't win the game. But, yeah, I was pleased in the end that at least we got a point out of the game.
Up next, we have forward Chris Wondolowski back with the team after his Gold Cup duty, and talk to him after the game.
Not giving up, and you know, I love being back in front of some great fans.
How do you think you played and linked with Steven and Simon a few times together?
You know, I love playing with those guys, and you know, they're great players. I thought it was a little bit of a tight field, and then it took away for a little bit from our possession, maybe. And you know, I think you know, us three would have liked to connect a little bit more passes. That being said, I still think that we created enough opportunities to win the game.
Difficult miss there in the second half. You know, what was the talk about the play that led to the shot off the post?
Yeah, Bobby Brilliant played a great ball in, and you know, put me through, and I was there. And you know, Tim Ream did a great job coming back. You know, just got enough of me and bodied me up enough where it kind of just threw me off a little bit.
Were you seeing space at the near post? Is that the thinking there?
No, he clipped my back foot, and I was going back post, but he clipped my foot, and so that's what I got out of it.
Why do you think things got so physical and so testy in the last 10 minutes of the game? Just because it was a tie game, or was there lingering from the playoff game last year?
No, I mean, just two good teams on a pretty small field. And, you know, just at least a lot of 50-50 balls, and neither team's going back down. And, you know, that's part of the game.
You think the fact that there was, you know, now 40,000 people in a small field and the new intimate, you know, that the emotions of the crowd maybe sort of help out the emotions on the field?
I mean, I thought the fans did a great job and kicked us into it. They're loud, vocal, and, you know, showed great support. And so they kept us going all 90 minutes, and, you know, it's great to have them there.
Up next is goalkeeper John Bush.
And, you know, they fought the whole game, and you know, they got two goals, so.
John, what about you guys? I mean, you know, you get hit pretty hard in the seventh minute, but this doesn't seem to be a team that just, you know, lays down after that.
I mean, you just get on with it. It's part of the game. You know, it's part of the game. You know, you get hit, you get bumped. Some games are more physical than others. You know, you got to get on. We're men. You know, this is a man's sport. You know, I think a lot was missed. I'll be honest with you. I think a lot was missed tonight, but that's just my opinion. You know, Bobby's red card, in my opinion, is not a red card. The guy who's on the ground grabs his ankle and pulls him first. So whoever that is, I don't know who that was, but he actually grabbed. I thought the referee was giving us a free kick because the guy who falls down on the ball clearly grabbed Bobby Burley's foot and makes him stumble. So, you know, I think it was a very physical match tonight. And, you know, it's disappointing how it ended for us.
on the save you made before the goal, it looked like the team relaxed, maybe even thinking the ball was going to go out of bounds.
Yeah, I think we all thought it was going to go out. It somehow, you know, stayed in on that sideline, and, you know, credit to Bellucci, he got it and got it, you know, swung it back in or did whatever he did with it and kept it in play. But, yeah, I mean, it was right on the end line, and maybe, you know, maybe that's part of it, but... you know, they were pressing us there at the end to try to get their goal, and they did.
Do you think defenders were out of position because of that?
No, I mean we were scrambling. They're, like I said, they're a good offensive team. They're very dynamic, and you know, I thought our guys did great tonight. Bobby and Jason and those guys did fantastic, and you know, but you give a good team, you know, enough chances, and they're going to get them. You know, fortunate, unfortunate. You know, what are you going to say? I mean, they got two fortunate goals tonight. You know, and but it's because they possess the ball and then do well and move the ball. So, you know, that's happened sometimes.
Did you get smacked in the face in the lip?
Yeah.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Could it have happened just before your yellow?
Yeah, maybe. That could have been it. I don't know what happened.
The atmosphere of playing in front of 40,000 fans, I mean, what was it like for you?
It was awesome. It was a great atmosphere. The fans were fantastic. You know, they were great. You know, I mean, tremendous atmosphere. So, you know, it just proves that, you know, we can build a stadium and have that almost every weekend. It would be awesome to have that, you know, 15, 20, 25 every weekend. It'd be fantastic.
I apologize for making you repeat one I'm sure you already answered. But
this guy, man. Jesus. What should you do? Go get a beer?
They changed the scoring in injury time.
You went to watch fireworks or what?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yes, Jeff, what would you like, sir?
I assume that you, or I don't know, did you feel like you had Lindpair's shot covered?
Yeah, I had a good beat on it, I think. You know, not saying that. If it goes in the top corner, then I didn't. But, no, I mean, I could see him. I knew what he was going to do with it. He was going to bend it to my right with his left foot. I had a good beat on it. But, you know, it's just unfortunate. I mean, you know, Bobby and Jason are doing what they get paid to do, block shots, you know. And on another night, you know, that gets headed out or cleared out some other direction. You know, tonight, unfortunately, it goes right down the middle of our goal. So what can you do, you know?
Well, we also spoke with two New York Red Bulls players. First up is Joel Lindpair.
Joel, just you know, talk about what your thoughts on the team performance was tonight.
I think we created a lot, and it was a very open game, both sides. We were good in counter-attacks because we know that we can hurt them, but same, they were dangerous against us. But it's like a habit that we get the very easy goals against us. So the second goal, of course, nice cross goal, but the first goal again, our concentration or our own mistake, like easy goal, it start to hurt already, like mentally, because we have so much work to get this feeling back, like we started.
Talk about your second goal. It seems like Mehdi played it pretty quick and then, you know, found you at the top of the box. Were you just trying to get onto frame there?
I think the first shot with my right foot, I thought it's for sure goal. The keeper made a great save there. But the second one, I saw the replay, so it could go in, but it reflected, but it could go in also. But the first one, I thought the first one is going in, so but it wasn't like this. So the second one, I got the second chance and I hit it good.
Can you talk about your first goal tonight?
I think it was a good combination we did. We graded it out and it's cross. I wanted to shoot one touch, but the guy was getting close. I think he got the thing between and the ball stick. I took one touch and it was almost open goal. So the goalie has gone away. So there was nothing there. We just put it in the goal.
What did you think of Dax tonight?
I think that if we play with two real holding players, then me and Dane, like, we don't need to run hell around, so everybody can see that we have more power and freedom to attack. It gives us more also possibilities, because actually six players plus keeper behind, it's in everywhere, and every team it should be enough to hold back line. So you know, like when the team practices against six defenders, so it's
quite must impossible. Have been
lazy. It's quite impossible to score.
And next up, the latest Red Bull, Dax McCarty. So this is your first match with your new team. I guess, first of all, just your reaction to, you know, the trade. Obviously, you didn't expect to be with New York this week. How's the adjustment going, and how do you think you did the first time?
Yeah, the initial thought was a little bit of shock. You know, in the middle of the season, you never expect something like that to go down, but obviously...
Fireworks.
So I was a little bit shocked, but at the same time, after the initial shock, I was extremely excited about the trade because I was coming to a team that is an immediate contender for MLS Cup, a team that suits my style of play, and a team that obviously has strong ambitions to win. So for me, it was obviously a little bit of a whirlwind this week. I had 2 days of training before this game, so... It was basically, you know, baptism by fire, if you will, coming into a tough environment and playing a good team like San Jose. But overall, my thoughts on the game, thought we did enough to win, certainly. But anytime you, you know, you score a goal in the last 10 minutes to tie the game up, you have to say that you're happy with a point on the road. I think we're by far the better team in the first half, created numerous chances, probably should have been up 2 or 3-0, to be honest. And then second half, they come out with a little bit more aggression. Thought we could have done a better job on winning second balls because Lenhart is a big guy, and he just, you know, he wins a lot of balls in the air. They like to lump it up to him, and it was a handful for us tonight. But for me, I'm happy with my debut. You know, I thought I played pretty well considering the circumstances, and overall just happy to get a result on the road.
Have you had a chance yet to even practice in New York, or where were your training sessions prior to the
match? I trained 2 days in New York. I trained Thursday and Friday, and it was basically okay, Thursday, Dax, here's how we want to attack, and Friday, here's how we want to defend. So a little bit of tactical work, and that was about it. So definitely, you know, not a lot of time to prepare, but at the same time, I felt good. I felt comfortable out there. I think we had a pretty good rhythm for most of the game. The guys on the field are great players. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it makes my job easier when I'm surrounded by players who are so comfortable with the ball, guys who like to pass, guys who like to keep possession, and that's what this team is all about. So for me, it'll be an easy transition. Obviously, I think with the more games I get, I think the better that, you know, the more consistent I'll become and the better the team will become. So, you know, my desire is obviously to get back to MLS Cup and win it. And I think that's what, you know, New York, I think that's their ambitions this year. And, you know, I think the fans expect nothing less.
You looking forward to playing in that stadium on a regular basis?
Very much so. It's one of the best. It's probably the best in the league. You know, this stadium in Kansas City Stadium, I've never been to Kansas City Stadium, but I'm very much looking forward to playing in front of the Red Bull fans. I've heard nothing but good things about them. Obviously, Red Bull Arena is one of the best stadiums in the league. So to get in front of the fans and play there will be definitely a good experience.
You going to miss the wildlife at RFK?
Yeah, sure, certainly will. I never got to meet the raccoon, which I'm upset about. But, yeah, I'll miss the cockroaches in the shower and all the little bugs that hang out in the locker room.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
No problem.
So there we're finishing up with Dax McCarty, and the big news there, of course, is that, yes, there are cockroaches in the showers at RFK Stadium in D.C.
I hear there's raccoons and other sort of vermin there as well, so
yes,
cockroaches
would
be the least of your problems.
You don't know this, but he actually mentioned that he never met the raccoon, and he was kind of disappointed about that.
Didn't stay there long enough. Okay.
Yeah. But
in his next tour of D.C. United, he can look him up. Look
yeah,
up Rocky.
Maybe the raccoon lives closer to the visitors' locker rooms, and that's why he never ran into it. Maybe he still has that opportunity. So, anyway, let's see. We've kind of covered this match. Why don't we look ahead to what's coming up here? Because the Earthquakes have a busy schedule.
Absolutely, we have a home game coming up on Saturday against Philadelphia, and before that, a game at Chivas USA down at the Home Depot Center on the Wednesday evening. So a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be a busy week for the team. We have Bobby Burling, who, of course, got the unfortunate red card. He'll have to miss that Chivas USA game. And Frank talked about, you know, Chris Leach being a guy who might step in there, or even Brad Ring. So we'll see who he chooses as that second central defender. And then they come back to Buckshaw to face Philadelphia, a team that is sitting at the top of the table in the Eastern Conference. You know, yet again, another tough opponent at home. And I know after drawing two of the top teams in MLS, the Quakes are going to want to, you know, try to get the extra points in that third game. So we'll see what happens.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think at that point, we will wrap things up. So thanks again for listening. I'm Jay Hips.
And I'm Robert Jonas.
And we will talk to you after the next Earthquakes home game.